going on in these last days about what's happening around us. And remember, we're going to be going a lot. We're getting ready to go back into Revelation next week. So I'm doing a series called Rapture 3D. This series, Rapture 3D, is not going to be just one sermon. It actually started out before we started doing the love for Valentine's Day and back to basics. So today is part two of Elijah and his rapture. The next time we'll have another from another part of the Bible, because the Bible is full of the rapture. Okay, I know people say it's not, and that's fine. The problem is, and here's the whole problem, people say, show me the word rapture in the Bible. Let me go ahead and clear this up. For anybody that says, show me the word rapture, how many reads Latin? Okay? If you read Latin, how many's ever heard of the Latin Vulgate written by a priest named Jerome? The Latin Vulgate was written, it was a translation of the early translation of the Bible. It was written in Latin, and the early Catholics used it all the time. Okay? The Latin Vulgate, the Word of God, was in Hebrew, Chaldee, and in Greek, and he took it and put it in Latin. So the Bible tells us there's going to be a great catching away. In Thessalonians, the catching away of the saints, which is the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those are alive and remain. And we're going to talk about that in weeks to come. That's called the catching away. The catching away, translated in the Latin Vulgate, is rapio, which is where we get the word rapture. Okay? So rapture is in the Bible. It just depends on what translation you're looking for. Okay? It is there. And if anybody tells you it's not, tell them to come see me, and I will. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to show you the truth and let you figure it out on your own. Okay? Rapture is in the Bible. Y'all say that with me. Rapture is in the Bible. Amen. But unless you can read Latin, just trust me. That's what it means. Okay? So here we go. Before we get going, I'll tell you, a priest asked a little boy if he knew what matrimony meant. The little boy replied, sure, it's the place between heaven and hell where a man pays for his sins. Oh, that's purgatory. Oh, okay. You know, everybody's getting in on this. They don't want anybody to get left out in all this, you know. Everybody's got something going on now. The atheists now, believe it or not, the atheists have instituted a dollar prayer. Believe it or not, the atheists have instituted a dollar prayer. What they do is you call it rings and rings and nobody answers. I know, burn the book. Amen. Get your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the word. Remember, next week we're going to go back to the seven churches of Revelation. And just a lot of times I can tell you just from many years of pastoring that when you go right straight through Revelation and never stop and take a break, that it becomes very, I can't think of the word other than it gets on people's nerves, that bothers them, that, you know, they go, can you talk about something else every now and then? That's why we have instituted Back to Basics on first Sunday of every month. And what's pretty cool is the first Sunday of every month, you talk about Back to Basics, and the rest of the Sunday, we're going to talk about current events and what's going to happen later, okay, in Revelation. So that's really, really cool. Look at what I say, that's really cool. Okay, we're just going to read, let's start at verse 9. Ready? Second Kings, verse 9. If you don't know where Second Kings is, where is it? It's right after First Kings. Okay, just checking on you. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind unto heaven. Wow. Wow, somebody say rapture. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're in our midst, Lord, that you're moving for us. And we thank you right now for what you're going to do. We ask you to bless this service. Lord, we know, God, that this is a tough time that we live in. And it's kind of even hard to even know what's black and white anymore. Most stuff now is gray, and some of the grays is just shades of gray. And God, I know your Bible isn't shade of, your word is not shades of gray. But God, it seems to be the biggest thing nowadays, and it depends on who's most popular gets the best shade of gray. It just drives me crazy, Lord, but you got this. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mighty to us and through us, Father, and let this day be for you and about you, so we can be for you and about your business. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down and tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. All right, so here we go. I'm going to give you just a few slides from 3 weeks ago to kind of keep you going in this, not a bunch. We're about to experience one of the greatest events in human history. Something dramatic is getting ready to take place, and it summons the end of the church age. The church age, of course, is the age of grace and the age of the Spirit. Now we talked a lot about this last time. We're not as far as we're going on this now. I want you to know something. When God gives us prophecy, every prophecy God gives us, here's what he does. Before he actually has the event take place, he always, look throughout the Bible, he always uses pictures and types before he actually does the event. It's very, very, very powerful that he would do such a thing. You see, I like to think of it this way. God always leaves a trail of prophetic breadcrumbs in the form of pictures and types that lead up to the actual prophetic event years before it happens. It shows that God is always in control, and God is always calling history. Although Satan is the god of this world, and he's the prince of the power of the air, although he's got all this power that he is exerting right now, he still is a defeated foe. We are fighting through victory, and he's fighting through defeat. There's the difference. Amen? So although he's fighting, he's a defeated foe. The problem is he won't accept it. He won't accept his defeat. Get ready. Some of y'all are going to get upset. He's fighting through defeat. We're fighting through victory. The problem is he won't accept his defeat, and we won't accept our victory. Wow. One more time. Satan won't accept his defeat, and we won't accept our victory. Okay? A lot of times, if he would just leave me alone, he's not going to leave you alone. Matter of fact, the harder you try to live for God, the more he's going to fight you. He's going to come against you. So watch this now. Let's move on a little bit further, because I want to get into this. I love it. It's so awesome. These are some of the types of the rapture in the Bible. We talked about all these last time. We're not this time. I'm just going to call their names. Enoch, he was translated. Elijah, we're getting ready to talk about. Philip, Paul, Jesus. Now, there's more examples, but these are the primary main examples and types in the Bible. So now, let's go a little bit further. I'll turn this thing off. There we go. There it is. It raptured away a little bit slower than I thought it would. All right. When rapture come along, when Elijah was getting ready to leave, it was literally, and these are the last things we're going to talk about from the last couple of weeks, it was a planned event because God told him it was going to happen. He told Elisha it's going to happen. Everybody knew it was going to happen because they said, is this the day your master is going to leave you? So that's a big thing around there. It's a promised event. God said he was going to do it, and it was a powerful event because he didn't just say he's going to do it. He did it. And not only did he do it, he said, if you will trust me and follow me wherever I go, then you can have that double portion that you would like. So here we go. Here we go. The rapture. Get ready. Elijah's rapture was first just like today's rapture that's getting ready to take place. Y'all ready? It was imminent. They were walking along and talking. That's it. Walking and talking. The Bible says, all over the New Testament, when it's talking about the first or the rapture, and it's talking about the second coming of Christ, when you got to remember the day of the Lord. Whenever you hear the day of the Lord mentioned by Jesus or in the Bible, the day of the Lord is more than one day. The day of the Lord is a series of events. It starts with the rapture and it ends with the second coming. That's the day of the Lord. The 7 years in between is when God shows his wrath. Okay? So again, it's imminent. One of these days, let me read some watch this. The rapture could happen at any moment. Y'all know that? Any moment. I mean, it could happen today. Wouldn't it be cool if we're talking about the rapture now and we're gone? Except if anybody got left behind, they might not like it. Amen. So, the Bible says in Luke 12:40, you must also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Wow. It's getting ready to happen, church. It's getting ready. Now, of course, I say it all the time, and we'll go back in again. There's the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the post-trib, the a-trib. Some believe that's going to happen before the primary tribulation. That's what I believe. I believe it's what the Bible teaches, but I'm not saying I'm the only one, and you got to listen to me. That becomes a cult. You listen for yourself. Read it for yourself. You figure it out. I'm here to guide you, not to brainwash you. Okay? But I believe it's first. Then there are some people, I believe it's going to happen mid-trib. But again, they're thinking we're already in tribulation period now. So there's mid-trib. But see, if it's mid-trib, you know, 3.5 years after the Antichrist is revealed, then it's going to happen. It's imminent. It's going to happen like this without you even thinking about it. Then there's the post-trib. The people believe that the rapture is going to take place after the end of the 7 years of tribulation. We're all going to go through the tribulation. Then there's a-trib. They believe there's not going to be a rapture at all. We're just going to blend in to the millennial. Okay? So, again, I can tell you about it later, but we don't want to get into that right now. Now, the first, it's imminent. It could happen anytime. Look around you. Look at what's happening. Has anybody had any dry spells lately? Whether or not, I mean, it's wet. It's so wet. We're thinking about when our dog goes out in the back, goes out to the dog, we're going to put those little floaties on his arm. When he comes out, he can come. Okay, or she can come back. Amen. So, number one, it's imminent. Number two, it's sudden. Happens anytime when it happens, it's going to be like that. I mean, it's going to be so fast. You're not even going to have a chance to even think about, wait for me. No, there's no wait for me. Once the rapture takes place, that's it. It's over, gone, done. So if you are a carnal, lukewarm Christian, and we'll talk about that in the seven churches, there's a good chance when you hear, do-do-do-do, you'll go, huh? Where'd everybody go? That's not popular, but that's the truth. Jesus said, to the church of Laodicea, and he says, I'm just going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. And spew you out of my mouth literally is translated, or religion translated, and I'm going to throw you into the tribulation. So think about this. So suddenly a chariot of fire. The rapture is going to happen very, very quickly. Amen? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. And I'm going to put some outlines out there for y'all. When you come back in Tuesday night or come in next week, you'll have all these outlines. So I did outlines for the first part one. This is part two. It's got all these scriptures that you can use so you can have it, because you're not going to necessarily convince anybody that does not believe in the rapture or doesn't believe the way you believe. You may not necessarily convince them, but at least you can keep yourself centered. Okay? I know that there's certain people I'll never convince. You know, I told you my boss man for the longest time was an atheist when I was at Procter & Gamble. And when I got ready to leave, he called me to the side. And I said, yes, sir, Ralph, what's going on? He said, I just want to tell you something. I said, what? Talk to me, buddy. He said, well, you're leaving. I just think you ought to know this. I said, what? He said, when you started working on our team, I was an atheist. He said, but I've watched you all these years, and I'm convinced now there is a God. And I just want you to know, I didn't say a word to him. It was my light shining. Amen? He said, I'm convinced now there is a God, and I just wanted you to know that before you left. Okay, so again, you may not convince anybody else, but if you've got this information, you're at least loaded, and you can go back to it, so at least you can keep yourself centered, keep your feet on the ground. But if somebody does happen to pull some mess on you and try to throw something at you that you can't figure out, then you got this to go back to. So get these outlines. They'll be out there next week. So it was sudden. But not only was the rapture or Elijah's rapture sudden, which is going to be the same way here. It says there's going to be two in the bed and one taken. There's going to be two in the field and one taken. There'll be what? Two doing whatever. Two doing something and one's taken. Okay? So now, selective. Just talked about it. I got ahead of myself. Selective, okay? It separated the two of them. Elijah left. Elijah stayed. Elijah stayed. And I'm going to really dig deep in this thing. I mean, dig deep. Elijah, when he left, because it was a type and a picture, if it had been the actual rapture, both of them would have been taken. As far as the New Testament rapture, but it was a picture and type of what was coming. So Elijah was being taken. But I just want to say this. For those that you're a true believer, I'm not talking about you got every I dotted, every T crossed, you never make a mistake, you never sin, you never have a bad attitude, you're always perfect. Matter of fact, if you're always perfect, let me just say something. You make me sick. I don't know of anybody that's always perfect. Okay? But the rapture can catch up with true believers. Those that were kind of playing with it, kind of playing around with it, they're left behind. I believe just like God left Elisha behind to finish the work, I believe those that got left behind are going to wind up pulling together and letting God use them in the tribulation. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be up. Amen? I want to go in the first load. Amen? Amen. So watch this. Matthew 24, 40 and 42. There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Amen. Let's see. I'm getting close to getting through. Isn't this some good stuff? Amen. So you see a picture and a type. How good this shows you what is going to happen thousands of years later. So, there we go. Let's get ready. We're getting ready to do another one. Glorious. Glorious. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be a glorious time for us. Amen. He went to heaven. The rapture is beyond human comprehension. You say, well, how in the world can a rapture take place? Well, can you imagine a 600-year-old man coming up and going, I'm going to build a boat. What kind of boat? One that's going to hold all the animals. Okay, how are you going to get them there? God's going to send them. How many are you going to carry? Two of one, two of the clean, and seven of the unclean. I mean, seven of the clean, two of the unclean. How are you going to get it done? God's going to have it. How long is it going to take you to build? Well, God said it was about 120 years. So you're going to build this boat for what? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? We've never seen rain. Yeah, but it's going to rain. What's rain? That's when water falls out of the sky. We don't need water out of the sky. It comes out of the ground, and we got a greenhouse effect. Everybody's fine. It's coming. Really? And then after they get on the ship, God waits 7 days before he closes the door to give everybody a chance to repent. And people still didn't crawl in. And then the rain came. Wow. So, again, that was beyond human comprehension. And, of course, the ark also can be a picture and type of the rapture. So here, watch this. Let's get going here. I'm getting close to the end. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, those who are still alive are left, and left will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord forever. Why does God call the dead first? Let me just explain something. All right. Theology can get very technical and can get boring, so I'm trying not to be too technical or boring. Sometimes I was talking theology when I was going to Lee University. Sometimes I would talk theology and I'd put myself to sleep. Amen. When you die, man is a trichotomy, body, soul, spirit. Man is a trichotomy. The Bible says when you die, your body goes back to the ground, but your soul and your spirit is with God. So, just like Bethany right now. Bethany, her body is in the ground, but her soul and spirit's with God. And people say, well, she's up there getting her reward. No, she's not. She's up there being protected by God. It's not time for rewards yet. Her rewards will not come till after the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when the bema judgment seat, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because her works are living on behind her. So, when the rapture takes place, the Bible says that we're all going to be changed. We got to put on a glorified body. In order to put on a glorified body to live in God's presence, then what has to happen is, right now it's just soul and spirit. All your people that died before you, I think about all the people in this church that have died, you know, Brother and Sister Gray, Brother and Sister Bonner, Sister Kathleen, other their soul and their spirit's in heaven, but their body's in the ground. In order to have a glorified body, they got to get a body. The body's in the ground. So at the rapture, what happens is, the Bible says that the corrupt must put on incorruption. So, when Jesus comes back, when he comes back at the rapture, he's bringing those souls and spirits with him. The Bible even says with thousands. He brings them with him at the rapture. And what happens is the body that's in the ground comes up. And when it comes up, their spirit and their soul meets together with their body. And then they put on an incorruptible body. At the same time, those that are alive and remain, we're going to be changed too. We're going to have an incorruptible body. So what's going to happen is at the moment of the rapture, all the dead is gone. All the dead is gone. Amen? So here's why did the dead in Christ have to, why did they rise first? Because they got 6 foot to come up to meet you. Some people, you don't even know where all their body's at. They may, and I don't want to get gross now, but you know, wherever it's at, it's got to come together. And when it comes up, we're all going to be changed and we're going to be with Jesus. That's a very powerful, powerful thought. All right. Enough of theology. Just enough that you know that, you know, Paul weren't crazy. Amen. Although they said much learning had made him mad. He wasn't. All right. Next. Ready? Confusion. The Bible says that Elisha cried out, tore his clothes, the other guys mocked him. Do you realize that when the rapture takes place, it's going to shock the minds of those that find it? There's going to be some that say, what happened? And I've already heard this. I'm not sure exactly what source I heard it from, but I have heard this. There's some agencies have already prepped themselves so when the rapture takes place, they can explain what happened to the people. Wow. I've also heard by some folks, and I'm not too much into this one, but I've heard by some folks that when the rapture takes place, it'll be so few compared to how many is on the earth that they won't even hardly know. There's all kinds of theories out there. I know that if you're taken and I'm still here, I got a problem. Amen. They can tell me all they want to tell me. I know I missed the boat. Amen. I missed the train. Believe it or not, there'll be people, if the rapture took place during church service, there'll be some people that'll never even know it happened. The church will be just like it was when they came in, just like it was when they leave. They'll find out when they get outside and turn on the radio, millions of people are missing. Because they're playing church. They're not living church. I want to ask you a question. It's hard, but I want you to think about it because the rapture is that close. Are you playing church or living church? Is the only time you think about God is when you're here? Or do you think about God all the time and let Him use you? See, the Bible also says, it says, know yourselves that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. Let me ask you a question. What were we here for? What's your purpose in life? Some purposes in our life we don't even know yet because there's still things coming until the day we die. And even after we die, our legacy will live on beyond us. That's why we don't get our rewards when we die because our legacy lives on, our influence lives on, the people that we touch live on. I mean, I'm telling you, I can't even get in. I cannot walk in this church without thinking about Brother Haslip. It's always there. It's always in my mind. When I open up the Bible, start to preach, I think about Brother Haslip. You know, he had such an influence on me. And I know that he's had an influence on some of the ways I've done things over the years. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Now, this isn't some, you know, actually, this is going to be awesome right now. Some of y'all are going to have to bear with me, but I'm going to, y'all guys come on up here. Get ready. Let me get going good. And y'all, we already talked about this. Don't think I'm crazy. Go ahead and say he's crazy. Go ahead and say it. He's crazy. Okay, good. Y'all got it out of your system. All right. Am I ready to meet Jesus? Be prepared. All you got to do is say, Jesus, save me. That's it. Jesus, save me. It's not like you got to come up with some crazy mess. You got to come up with some formula. It's Jesus, save me. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, you think he had time to go get baptized and join the church and blah, blah, blah. He was dying. His hands were nailed to a cross. He couldn't move. So, be prepared. Just ask him in your heart. Are you living life fully? Are you being expected? I'm thinking Jesus is coming. And I'm concerned for others. Be sharing it with other people. You know, reach one more for Jesus. Actually, this could be the day. We were practicing today, and while we were practicing, of course, when we're warming up, we just play all kinds of things to get warmed up, get our fingers all going and our head in the game and going. And this song. Go ahead. This song. Start to play it. There you go. Getting saved reminds me of a song I heard when I was young. I wish it was praise and worship, and we're going to make it praise and worship today. You hear it? Getting saved is easy. It'd be easy this Sunday morning. Isn't that cool? Man, I wish Lionel Richie was preaching and singing. Everybody stand up. Y'all keep on playing. Go ahead. Y'all just play it like you want to. Play it like we're not even here. So many times we make it so hard to serve Christ. We make it so hard to believe that we're saved. But it's easy. Jesus already done all the hard toting. He done all the hard work. He did everything. He doesn't even demand anything other than you come to me and let me live through you. Wow. You come to me, admit that you were wrong, accept my forgiveness, and let me live through you. The rapture's so close, I would hate to think that I missed the rapture because I had some kind of religious formula. And I couldn't get beyond the religious formula. I didn't live up to all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. Salvation is so simple. Jesus, let's all do this together. Ready? Y'all say it behind me. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Help me to give it to you and leave it with you. I fully accept your full pardon of my sin. And I thank you, God, that on this Sunday morning, it was easy. Because you've already done all the hard work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here right now and you still get confused by all the religious talk, and you get confused by all the political talk, and you get confused by all the things that's happening around us. I have to admit, all the things that are around us doesn't necessarily confuse me, but it definitely infuriates me when I see some of the crazy mess going on. And I remember talking Tuesday night to the church, get ready, because unless God does something different, the Bible will be condemned for hate speech. They're going to tear it apart and let us have a watered down version of it, just enough to keep us happy. The world does not want unity. The world wants conformity. There's a difference. Unity is when we can all think different but still be alike. Marriages need unity, not conformity. Families need unity, not conformity. Churches need unity, not conformity. The world needs unity, not conformity. But conformity is being pushed, and it's going to be pushed. That's why I say there's coming a time when God says enough's enough. Come on, kids. Come on home. and the rapture is going to take us out of here. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart and let Him live through your life. That's it. The thief on the cross, all he had time for was to, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. That's it. That's it. And Jesus said, today, once you get down off this cross and go join the church and get baptized and learn 25 scriptures and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'll be bold, right now, and nobody's looking around, every eye closed, and say, I'm really struggling with this thing, no matter how you slice or dice it. I'm struggling, and I need God to really do a work in me. Would you lift that hand? Lift that hand. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him. That don't mean you backslid. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means that you're just having trouble letting Him live through your life. Or you're having trouble trying to figure all this out. I can promise you, you'll never figure all this out. Only God can. And number two, you can't live, Jesus can't live through you by you trying to figure that out either. You just have to let Him do it. Just let Him do it. Let's pray together. Everybody still, everybody. Lord, I need You to touch me. Touch my mind, touch my spirit, touch my soul. I don't understand what has happened in this place. But I do know that You're still in charge. You're still in control. And I know that You're going to get glory out of all of this. So help me to hold on to You and believe that You're going to work through me. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Isn't God good? All the time. Who's tonight? I can tell you, bring life to you.